Listener-supported radio for Northeast Texas. This is 88.9 KETR and KETR.org, broadcasting from the campus of East Texas A&M University. You're listening to Notably Texan. I'm Matt Menke. And each day here on the show, I put together hand-picked playlists featuring artists from or based in Texas. And one of the other things that we really enjoy doing is speaking to the people behind the music. And today I have the pleasure of speaking to a singer and songwriter who has been here in the Lone Star State since the 90s. She lives with her husband outside of Austin, and she's dedicated her entire latest album to her love for the West, the landscape, the weather, the stories, the people. The record is called Blessed by the West by today's special guest on Notably Texan, Sarah Pierce. Hey, I certainly appreciate you being my guest today. Welcome to Notably Texan, Sarah.
Thank you.
I believe that you're based in the Texas Hill Country now, if I'm not mistaken, but you've got roots elsewhere. So tell me a bit about your upbringing, if you would.
Well, I spent all my time on ranches. My dad was a foreman that got moved around between these ranches. And so in Texas, it was Brady. We had a ranch outside of Brady, pretty big ranch. It's still there. We sold it. But, Brady. And then we had ranches in Florida. Illinois was the main ranch. It was the starting ranch. It's the only one that's left. We also owned Ken Carl Ranch when it was actually a ranch and not a housing development. But, there you are. The last one is still the main center for the Angus, which is what our thing was. And that's called Woodlawn, and it's up in Creston, Illinois.
So where specifically is home in Texas for you now, then?
We're in Liberty Hill.
Gotcha.
Which is about 30 miles north of Austin.
Okay. Well, that's a pretty perfect staging ground for what you do.
It is. Yeah, we're very blessed. We've got a little ranch outside of town, and we're very blessed. Got all the animals, got the land. Love the land.
Yes. Well, when did music start to play a big part in your life? Weren't you in the school choir as a youngster?
Yeah, you had to bring that up. Yes, in the fifth grade, I got kicked out of the choir because I sang really low, and I'm an alto, and I got kicked out because I sang like a boy.
Okay.
So from there, I just, I'd sneak out in the barn and sing, and I played this guitar, but I don't know what I was doing, but I thought I was doing something.
Well, what sorts of music artists did your family or maybe friends expose you to while you were growing up?
Of course, my dad was a cowboy, so you listened to country music or you were in giant trouble.
Right.
So basically, that was it. And, blessed be, I listened to some of the greatest singers and phrasers ever, Patsy and Ray Price, and, the people who really, you listen to them now, and they were not tuned at that time. They were great singers.
Nice. So, I mean, is this stuff that you still, kind of refer to these days, some of those favorites from your early years?
We do most of our shows are actually all original.
Sure.
But we throw in a little Ray Price and definitely a little Patsy.
Well, my guest is Sarah Pierce today on Notably Texan. And people discovering you currently may only associate you with kind of Western songs and country music, but I think you've been somewhat eclectic with your songs through the years. Haven't you released some things in other genres on some of your earlier albums?
I did. We had, it's so weird how stuff like that happens. We had an AC, is that right? Adult contemporary,
yeah.
But it's mild. We had a record like that. My husband was like, let's do something different. And so we did, and we toured like crazy on that record. And we had a song get to like number 20 on the AC charts. It was crazy. I still have a copy of it because I'm right next to Phil Collins.
Wow.
And you never throw that away.
No, you don't.
Never, yeah. Lord have mercy. We did that, and then I got back to country.
Okay.
But, we did make a little bit of a drift over. And I have a lullaby record for kids, and we also have a Christmas record. But yes, we did that once. Well, never again.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with that at all, but I think sometimes people might be surprised by this if they, you know, just finding out about you today.
If you go to one of the, you know, like Spotify and pull it up, you can get something on me that's totally not me. I mean, yeah. I should probably get rid of those. But
well,
anyway.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if you want to look at it one way, I guess you can just kind of say, hey, look how far I've come, you know?
Well, you diverge. I mean, and I'm not even close to this, but look at what Emmylou did with Wrecking Ball.
Oh, right.
I mean, you know, just totally, we were like, wow. Of course, you know, much more, much more wonderful than my stuff, but still, it was something that she did. She did it really well. So, you know, you go over there. You go where your spirit tells you to go.
Well, you put out your album Blessed by the West this year. Is this album
yes.
number 10 or 11?
I don't know.
I thought maybe you would just...
Well, the thing is, it's whether you count the first cassette tape.
Okay.
Because my first record was a cassette tape. So, yes, it's 11 if you count the cassette tape.
All right, we'll throw that in there. I mean, that's maybe nobody can play them anymore, but that's still a legitimate release, you know?
That's true.
I keep thinking, you know, with the crazy...
You can't play CDs either. I bought a bunch of CDs, and everybody's like, I don't know where to put it.
I know.
Oh, phooey.
It is a weird situation, you know, with this resurgence of vinyl. I've wondered whether or not young people might go, hey, I want to, you know, get people interested in cassette tapes again. You know, wouldn't it be something if those...
You never know.
Whether it's record 10 or 11, congratulations, because that really is quite
Thank
a feat
you.
In this constantly changing field of music. You know, you have generally kind of focused on country and Western sounds, generally speaking, but what drew you to the theme of specifically Western songs on this latest release?
You know, I'm not sure. Barwire, our last one, got a little, and yeah, I'm trying to make sure I'm telling you the truth. Barwire did, you know, pretty well for an indie release. And then I started meeting more and more people in this Western vein. And they're incredible. Andy Hedges, I mean, they're incredible. I realized that I should have been there the whole time. I mean, they're part of what my family going way back, you know, has been. We were the people that brought the first Angus bull over from Canada. So it just seemed tied. I don't write the songs. Please, let me just explain. I really feel like the songs come out of this Alvarez guitar that I have. And she's written, you know, 10 albums.
Wow.
I feel like whether it's Western or not, I don't think I'm classic Western because you do have Andy Hedges and, you know, Mickey Furman and people like that that are truly Western. And you have the poets that are amazing. I didn't know about Western poetry, really. And I was never a poetry person in college. It wasn't my thing. But these people are incredible. So I think this record, my records just come out. I write the songs, we see if they're okay, and then we put the music to them and see what happens. And you're right, it does lean on the Western side of things. But you know, as you get older, well, as I've gotten older, being on this 10 acres, looking out at the goats right now, looking at this 300-year-old oak tree, I really, really, I'm blessed to be able to take care of and help all the creatures and the land survive. You live in Texas. It's been tough the past few years.
Right.
You know, the trees are tired. The animals have had it. And it's an honor to be able to take care of the land. And that's kind of where this whole record sits.
Well, I appreciate your insights on that. I thought that the opening song on the album is a pretty great example of the imagery that you're conveying on a lot of these songs on Blessed by the West. Can I ask you a little bit about the song I Want to Go Home? Do you have any insights on that?
Oh, that one, we just did it. You did it with me. We open the gate and we get onto the land and I'm like, oh, thank you. This is why I go to work. I have a day job when I'm not on tour. And, you know, again, you drive in. The oak tree I wrote about, it, I'm looking at her right now. She's gorgeous. There's something just about being on the land and being part of it.
Now, you've got some great-sounding players behind you on the record. Do you want to tell me a little bit about the band?
Wow, we're so lucky. So, first, Mike Dorian plays most of the guitar. And Mike has been with me for 10 years. And like all the players that I work with, the first thing they ask for most of the time is a lyric sheet. You don't see that usually. And they really, really listen and try and give the song what it needs. So, again, Mike Dorian is fabulous. Mark Epstein on bass. Also Sandy Martin on bass. Just beautiful players. Pete Wozner, if you look at his discography, holy cow, he's a Nashville guy. But just so tasteful. And did a beautiful job on this. I've always had Riley Osborne play on my records. And everybody knows who Riley is, and Riley passed away. And I was not going to look at keyboards for this record. And then somehow Pete Wozner, who's a friend of my husband, Merle Briganti, you know, Merle's been around in music so long, he knows everybody. And he said, give Pete a chance. He's not Riley, but it's not talent, it's emotion. And Pete did a wonderful job. And then, of course, Cody Braun, always on my records, love him.
Nice.
Did a Willie Braun song. Always do a Willie Braun song. We didn't co-write it this time. I did want to hit Willie songs. And then you get into, I pulled some of the Western people in who are wonderful. Doug Figg sang on this. Mickey Furman sang. Andrew Renfrey. All of them wonderful artists and songwriters in their own right. Andy Renfrey's a monster writer and writes a lot with Nashville acts. We got Cody Braun, Mike Chandler, Epstein, Furman. John Edmond does a couple songs on this. And you must know John Edmond because he's one of those guitar gods of Texas. And then Jim Jones wrote one of the songs and also played. And again, these are just really nice people. It's just great to do this. I have a CD release party this Sunday, and we're flying Dave Perlman out from L.A. And Perlman, another guy that if you look at his discography, you're just blown away, and just one of the nicest people. We're blessed.
It's nice that you have this connection with these folks, because some artists just end up in the studio with, you know, session players that they've never necessarily met before, and they just get the notes or whatever, and they come in and do a spectacular job, but they're not really, you know, connected with your music or you. So that's a nice way to do it.
Oh, we're so lucky. That would be hard. I just don't know if I could handle just the licks they did on the last record and the one before that. It would be hard.
We're talking with Sarah Pierce here on KETR. Would you mind telling me about your involvement with the television series The Wild West? When did that air? I was trying to remember.
Oh, I wish I could remember. you're catching me here. That was a long time ago. But, of course, Merle played with John McEwen in the Dirt Band. And John McEwen actually did that series and did the music for that series. And he called me and said, you want to be the voice of Calamity Jane? And I said, okay.
Well, sure. That's
so
the
we
only
went
answer.
To L.A. and did that. And no, it was great. And it was an honor to do anything with John, because John is just wonderful. And he's out there. Boy, he's playing like a crazy person. So anybody who hears this that hasn't seen John McEwen live, please go to his shows. He's fabulous.
Well, you've got this longstanding career making music, and I wonder if you'd like to maybe say something to other women who might aspire to do what you do and perhaps release 10 albums of their own. I know this is kind of a cliche question, but let's say that there's an aspiring female musician out there who's kind of facing this, you know, sadly male-dominated music world. Would you have any words of inspiration to them?
It's very difficult. You do have to be ready. You do have to believe in yourself, even though that's so hard to do. And it's also hard to find somebody to lead you through and help you a lot of people are out there just, you know, trying to do make it through their job too. But you write songs that you feel. There's nothing wrong with doing someone else's song. You play the best you can, and if you can play well, practice. Get that down. Some of us don't have that. I've been practicing for 20 years. I am just as bad as I was 10 years ago on the guitar. The first thing I say when I start a show is, I am a singer-songwriter. I am not a guitar player. But I have to play guitar to give you songs, so here we go.
Okay.
But there are a lot of women out there that are fabulous players, so you got to see if you can do it. You really do. And just always follow your heart. If you try and follow someone else's or a trend, a lot of times you tend to, you know, you're behind all the time. And get out there. If you want to do Nashville, you have to be young. And most of us don't know who we are until we're too old for Nashville. you just follow your dreams and take care of yourself.
Sarah Pierce, your Blessed by the West album contains a trio of songs that are dedicated to some of the pioneering women who helped to sort of carve a path for the freedoms enjoyed to this day. You want to talk a little bit about those songs and, you know, obviously why you wanted to include them?
Oh, this was such fun because I had to do so much research. It started with Merle and I went up to, we fly fish up at Marble Canyon in Arizona. And we've done that for years, once a year. And finally, there was a time that we didn't have just 3 days. And so on the way back, we stopped at the Grand Canyon. And there was this little, you know, like half a flyer in the little gift shop. And it was talking about the messengers that started in the late 1800s and delivered mail, and they were females. And so I picked that up because I thought, wow, that's incredible. And so this is, I don't know, 5-7 years later, I pulled that out again. When you're trying to write songs for a new record, you're just kind of, you're looking, you're trying to figure out where it's going to go, and started doing research and realized that there were, I'm sure, more groups than I know of, but the messengers were women who had a canteen, a rifle, and a darn fast horse.
Wow.
And they took messages. What was her name? I'm sorry. Gosh, Alberta Claire. She had a message. She rode from Wyoming to Oregon. She reshoed her horse 14 times to get there.
No kidding.
Women then rode side saddle. And, you know, halfway through, or probably 2 days through, she was like, the heck with this?
Yeah.
So she, when she got to Oregon, she got there and they cheered and she had the letter for the governor or the mayor, I can't remember which. And she said, I'm saying women should ride astride and we're going to vote our minds. And,
nice.
Just gives you chills.
Yeah.
But they sewed these documents in their coats and or in their shirts. And, you know, they had a knife and a rifle and all this stuff on top of it because they were fighting bandits. They had wolves. I mean, you can imagine. This was a big deal.
Yeah.
Then I went over to the librarians. And when you see the pictures, you've got these women's side saddle with these dresses on. Well, these women loaded up their mule with a bunch of books and a saddlebag, and they rode hundreds of miles with a gun and a canteen and a bunch of books and went and stopped at these small, I'm not even going to say towns, but during the Depression and thereafter, a lot of the kids, the schools weren't working, so the kids didn't have any way to read or find out what was going on. So they would go and read to people. And these were also some pretty darn tough women. The third song, Rough Stock, we all know what Rough Stock are. They were the women that were riding broncs, you know, in the late 1800s. McCarroll is the one that, you know, was killed riding broncs because they were, women used to have to ride tied up. They tied their stirrups together under the horse.
Really?
So if you started to fall, you just beat your head on the ground till you were dead. I mean, you couldn't get off. And that changed, I think, during when Cheyenne Frontier Days started. But down at the Pendleton Roundup, they rode hobbled for a long time, and that's where McCarroll died. But so, you know, those were women who, again, though it was a little different, they weren't riding 100 miles. They were putting their life on the line every time they got on a horse. Now, granted, you know, everybody does. It can happen any time. But they were pretty tough and in a very male-dominated, I'm going to call it sport, but that's the wrong word. So those were my three examples.
Now, I know that you are no stranger to visiting and speaking with fellow non-commercial radio stations around the nation. So while I've got you on the line with me today, could I ask you to speak a bit about what you love about public radio?
Oh, wow. You take this right. It's like the post office. And what I mean by that is it's something that we grew up with, we've relied on. Now, granted, I'm not 20, and so that's a whole other world. But, you know, we waited for the mailman just to find out what was going on. Well, and my dad had the radio on in the barn every day, because that was how we knew what was happening, whether it was music, whether it was news. And I love, you know, the stations like yours, where you actually talk to people, you think about what you're playing. there's just so much to learn. Even if you just listen to the music, there's so much to learn from you guys. I love these stations.
You know, so many people who listen never actually support. So how would you encourage someone to give to a station like this?
Well, I think, you know, we try and do that as much as we can. I think, you know, it's very important you support it. It's just, you know, it's kind of hard times right now. So, but I think just to realize that even a dollar is going to help. And I think sometimes we sit back and go, well, if I can't do like $25, I'm not going to make a difference. Well, you're wrong. Everything helps. And also telling everybody about it. If you like a station, tell people about it. It's, you know, now a lot of times you can, now that it's the way it is, you can tell your aunt in South Carolina about the station in Texas. Because a lot of times they can get that station. And then you're sharing something that you enjoy with people you love, and that's nice too.
Some sound advice there from my guest, Sarah Pierce. Now, you're often on the road taking your songs around the nation. So where can we keep up with your gigs? And there tend to be a lot of these gigs, and also your latest information. You're online, right?
Yeah, sarahpierce.com. Pretty simple.
Yeah, and I don't think there's a whole lot of other Sarah Pierce's to get you confused with.
Oh, you'd be amazed.
Oh, well, okay. All right, I stand corrected. I guess I didn't really thoroughly search your name out there to see the others.
Librarians and teachers.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Well, but sarahpierce.com is going to get you to get people to your site.
I got that one. Yeah,
that's important. Very good. And, I mean, I assume that performing live has to be something that you look forward to doing.
Oh, yeah. Seeing the fans, it's, I think because I'm such a storyteller, you know, it's especially out here in Texas, and I'm surprised where else. I really am. People just, you know, we relate through music. Even if, I remember I was at Green Hall down in New Braunfels, and I got done with a set, and a woman came up and she said, "I do not know the difference between a bull and a cow. But you told the story so well, I'm going to find out." And I'm like, "Where are you from?" And she's like, "I live in New York in the city." But the cute thing was that it's just, if you can make somebody laugh, if you can make somebody cry, which I do often, and I don't, you know, but it's all part of us being together. And it's very important. I'm going to say especially now, but I think we've said that, you know, every year for the past 100 years. But especially now, it's important to support each other and see each other as humans and try and do a good job as a human. And so we need to be in touch with each other.
Fantastic. Well, I got to tell you, I have really enjoyed being in touch with you today and getting to know so much more about you.
Me and, too. You're great.
Oh, well, it was really a pleasure to interview you. I would love to see you in person sometime, maybe if you find yourself out this way. Would love to have you into our studios.
Great. Well, we will let you know when we're coming by. You never know when we're doing a gig nearby.
Oh, for sure.
Let us know.
Wish you happy trails, Sarah. Thanks again for being here.
You too. Thank you so much.
And here at KETR, we'd like to express our gratitude to Sarah Pierce for a fantastic interview and to Adam Dawson with Broken Jukebox Media for making this discussion possible. From the campus of East Texas A&M University, I'm Notably Texan host Matt Menke on 88.9 KETR. Thanks for listening. Find us online at KETR.org.